Greetings, beautiful people. I hope you're having a wonderful new year. If you aren't, just remember, God loves you. I love you. You are so loved. Guys, the new year is starting and I feel really good about it. For one, I got a new mic, which means we're moving forward as a proper or professional podcaster. Yay! That would be like the cheers in the background. But we're going to get into this whole thing. Today, we're going to be talking about the ego and the higher self. Many people have different names for this. Some people, if you're a Christian, you might refer to it as your flesh versus spirit. Other people refer to it as your lower self versus your higher self. Some people, ego self. Like, it's many ways you can think about this. But for this podcast specifically, we're going to be referring to the ego, the flesh, the man nature, six nature, pretty much that darker aspect of the mind as the ego. And your higher self, I'm going to refer to that as a spirit or Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's up to you. But for me, I'm going to call it the higher self. So on my spiritual journey, I've identified my ego and my higher self a couple times. And it's something that you do regularly. Like in any situation, you can either choose to make a decision out of ego or out of love or out of your higher self. So on my journey, I've learned to identify where and when I'm making decisions out of those different spaces. And I kind of think of it as vibrations. When you're in that lower vibration, you are then under the ego's command or control. And in those places, it's kind of hard to thrive, if you will, because those are like constricting energies. Those low vibrational energies of like guilt and shame and, you know, lust and destruction, all of that, and you know, etc. Those are very contracting or constricting energies that kind of keep you compressed, honestly. And then you have the higher energies of like love, courage, being neutral, neutrality, and joy, happiness, peace. All of that, all of the good things of God, and love being the highest, of course, and enlightenment is actually the highest vibration you can be in. But when you have these higher vibrations, they're very expansive, where you have the other ones that are the opposite. And so they constrict instead of expand. And so I've learned to identify my ego in several ways. It's a mental thing, for one, learning that, okay, I can either choose to make a decision or choice from this space or that space, from a lower space or from a higher space. And depending on where you're at, energy wise, it may be harder to make a decision from your higher perspective if you're not able to perceive it. So it's something that I've had to learn to do, and it's been very beneficial in my journey, because when I get into situations, I'm neutral now, very neutral, and I have the choice whether I want to react a certain way. And that's, to me, that's powerful, honestly. And I've learned on my journey as well that, you know, you can have power, but if you have no control, then you're honestly powerless. And so being able to control your emotions, feelings, and thoughts is very powerful in the spiritual journey. And if you're a person who lacks control over those things, the best way you can gain control is through mindfulness, meditating, and being present in the moment and understanding that the power is in the present. So for me, I've learned to be a little bit more present in my thinking and knowing that, okay, I don't have to react to a situation in a negative way. I can always react in a way of love or just being optimistic or positive. And I'll give you a real life example before I get into this whole thing. But recently, I've been traveling for the holidays. I spent majority of the holidays in Florida visiting my grandmother. And then towards the end, after Christmas, I went to Houston to visit my brother. And while I was out there, I had a good time. I was only there for like 2 days, but the day that I was meant to leave, we woke up super early, headed to the airport. When we got to the airport, we were there about an hour and 30 minutes before it was our time to fly. And we kind of got stuck because there were so many people. And so we were in the line to get our tickets and check our bags, and they told us we missed our flight. And we were like, oh snap, really? Okay. And so at that moment, I wasn't freaking out, because I was just like, all right, everything happens for a reason. So I was pretty calm for the moment. But then as time went on, I start to get a little anxious and worried, because we end up waiting for an additional hour just to get up there to change our flight to, you know, schedule our flight for a new day. When we got up there, they told us that they had no more flights until I think January 2nd. So right now it's it's December 30th. And I'm like, okay, well, I have school. I have all these things that I need to do that I was, you know, trying to complete before the first and whatnot, and some stuff that I need to take care of back home. And now I can't do it. And so I then begin to kind of get in this really like just frustrated energy. And then for a moment I stopped and I was like, okay, just bring it together, bring it back, started breathing. And I realized, you know, everything does work for my highest good. And so in that moment, instead of viewing it like, okay, I missed my flight, I'm stuck here, you know, all hell is going to break loose, I start to go, okay, well, now I get to go spend more time with my brother and my nieces and my nephew and my sister-in-law. And, you know, I just get to spend more time with family. Not only that, but it's not like I was in the worst place ever. I was in Houston. It was nice and sunny. It was warm. Back home, it was snowy, cold, and yeah, so it was like I start to look at it from a higher perspective, and looking at it from that kind of like good perspective of, oh, okay, you know, this is not the worst thing that could happen. And so when I got into that space, things just kind of opened up and I felt less limited. So I started thinking of all the cool things that we can do. I was like, all right, well, I can go to the park with my nephew, and, you know, I can go on a walk with my niece, and, you know, I can watch movies and stuff with my older niece, and I can spend some time with my brother and all these different things. Because prior to that point, 2 days was just not enough after not seeing my family for about like 6-8 months, or almost a year, honestly. And so I looked at it from that brighter perspective or brighter side, and I start to, you know, just go, okay, well, this is not going to be bad. Now, if it was a year or two ago, honestly, if it was like 2 years ago, I would have been very frustrated. I would have been upset. I would have been like, dang, I missed my flight. Like, this is not cool. I would have been unhappy. Like, everything would have just felt like everything was working against me. And I would have viewed it from that lower perspective and viewed it like, okay, this is happening to me, not for me. Instead, I chose to look at it from the higher perspective and going, okay, this is happening for me. And so it turned out to be a great like New Year's and just time with my family. And I got to spend time with my nephew, and he was really excited about it. And it was just a good time. Got to reconnect with my family after not seeing them for so long. And it's a good thing, because honestly, being separated from my family, especially the younger ones in my family, my nieces and nephews, you guys know I have like, I'm not going to tell you how many nieces and nephews I have, but I have over 10, let's just say that. And it's hard because they're young, and so they're going through those like developmental stages, and I'm not a part of it. So it's like I'm missing out on growing up with them, or them growing up with me and actually getting to know me. And so I felt the need to, you know, rebuilt those connections while I was in Texas, and also in Florida, because I spent time with my nieces and nephews out there as well. But while I was in Houston, it was like, okay, this is what I needed, you know, or this is what we needed. Because collectively, you know, my nieces and nephews, I feel that they need me just as much as I need them. But it was just a cool little, or I guess a random little example of a situation that could have resulted and me being in a negative low vibrational space versus a higher one. And now I want to kind of take it to the whole point of this podcast, which is talking about the ego versus the higher self, which is your higher self is love. Your higher self is the God within you, essentially. So when it comes to the ego always wants to play the victim, right? The victim of any circumstance around you. So the example I use, where I felt like, If I was 2 years ago in that version of myself, it would have been like, oh, why is this happening to me? Why is everything working against me? I missed my flight. Woe is me. It's that type of victim mentality. And ego also lacks security. And so it's always trying to create a false security. It's all about I, and not in a, you know, bettering the self I, but a I am better. It's kind of like I don't want to say a false confidence I, but it's an egotistical way of viewing everything. The I, you guys know what ego is. Ego lives in scarcity, which means there is never enough. Ego is always on the move for more. It's always wanting more. It's always wanting more. Nothing is ever good enough for the ego. And it's like this constant journey of acquiring more and more and more and more. But at the end of the day, one thing I've learned on my journey is the more you have and the less love you have, it means nothing. It, like, all the material things in the world literally mean nothing if you have no love in your life. And I've been in that space before. But when it comes to ego is going to tell you that you need more, that you don't have enough, when just in reality, you may have exactly everything that you need. And that's why it's important to be in the present, because in the present, you'll realize that you have everything that you need in the present moment. Everything that you need, whether it's air, water, food, shelter, whatever it is, you have your needs, and that's all that you literally need in the present. But ego is going to tell you you need more, that you need more than what you have. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but I'm saying if you get caught in that trap of acquiring more and never being thankful or present to what you already have, then you're going to end up looking back one day and going, where's all the love in my life? Where did all the time go? Because it was like this constant journey for more, more, and more. And it kind of got you, it got you somewhere, but it got you nowhere spiritually, is what I'm trying to say. So when it comes to ego, it's that temporary, like, alive feeling. I don't know, the best way I can explain this is ego is scared of moving forward. And so it fakes the present moment. And so let's say an opportunity comes your way and it's time for you to expand. You know, God is trying to get you to expand. Your angels are trying to get you to expand in a new way or to learn something and grow. Ego is scared of that. And so ego is going to self-sabotage and try to get you to think that you're living the best life that you could possibly live. But in reality, you aren't, because we can always better ourselves, right? If that makes sense. And so the ego is always going to say, no, like, you're good where you are right now. You don't have to move forward. You don't have to expand. You've expanded enough. Ego is always going to try to constrict you, right? And keep you in a space, keep you in a box. It always wants to keep you in a room somewhere. But that's not what we're on earth to do. We're on earth to learn, grow, and expand as much as possible. But, you know, in the right ways. When it comes to ego, ego thinks everything is a competition. And I also want to, you know, bring the fact that it's a collective thing. Ego is very collective. Everybody has their own ego, right? And some people's egos are bigger than others. And so it creates this competition or competitive atmosphere where you feel like you have to be better than the next person, especially when it comes to like social media and the internet. Don't even want to get into that. But ego always thinks everything is a competition. And then, of course, you have society that plays into that with sports and everything else. And don't get me wrong, healthy competition is okay. But when it comes to ego, it thinks that literally everything is a competition. And I'm not making this up. Whether it's what you're wearing, what you're like, where you're going, like, everything becomes a competition to ego. In reality, some people just really aren't competing. Like, literally, some people are living out of a space of love and they're just simply being and doing, and ego is gonna see that and they're gonna go, oh, I have to outdo that. And that just creates this really toxic atmosphere for those people in ego. And no offense to those people, because we all have those moments, you know. When it comes to vibrations, you can move up and down. Like, it's not like you're stuck at a high vibration at all times, you know. There's a lot of external forces that lower your vibration, and that's hard. Like, for example, quick example, there would be times where I would be in just a beautiful high vibrational state, wake up, everything is peaches and cream. Then I go to work and I would stay in a high vibrational space all the way up until the end of work, where you think like you'd be excited to get off. But at that point, I'm drained, I'm beat, I want to go home, I want to sleep. And so now, you know, an external force and just everything collectively that's happened to me at work has now drained me to the point when I get to home, I'm in the low vibrational state and I have to restart the process of, you know, meditating or just becoming present in the moment again. And sometimes that's hard, especially when you're in those lower spaces. So I'm not necessarily saying for any of what I'm speaking about is that it's wrong to be in those spaces or it's, you know, bad, because at the end of the day, it's something you have to become aware of, you know, and choose whether or not you're going to be in that space or not. As long as you're aware, then you kind of hold the power for it. And that's like what I'm trying to, I guess, convey with this whole thing, is when you are present and aware of the vibrational space that you're in, then you can choose whether you want to stay there or ascend from it. So again, with ego, it thinks everything is a competition, including vibrational spaces and mental capacity. So like the conscious levels, wanting to get smarter just to be better than the next person, that's an ego way of doing things. Whether if it's from a higher space, your higher space, higher perspective, whatever you want to call it, your Christ consciousness is going to tell you to do it to better yourself, not because of anyone else, but because you need it, because you need the improvement or the growth. But the ego is going to tell you to do it so you can basically crap on everyone else around you. So you see the difference between the two. Now, last thing I'm going to pinpoint with the ego, and then we're going to go into the higher spaces, is everything is complicated to the ego. Again, that ego is very constricted, and so it makes small things seem bigger than what they are. The world around you just seems bigger than what it is. In that higher space, you know, it's a small world after all mindset. But with the ego, everything is complicated. All situations become harder than what they are. Where you have something that could be easily solved, the ego is going to complicate it and make it seem harder than what it is. And it's also good to like speak to other people, especially people who are in good energy and optimistic people, because they can always help you see a brighter side of whatever you're going through. Where the ego will always have you in that, like, looking at the world in a bad perspective, in a bad space. And I've been there before. Oh, let me tell you guys, I spent literally a decade in deep darkness, depression, anxiety, sin, and everything else. And it was very hard for me to understand the world around me, because I did feel like, okay, everything was happening against me. Now, when I went to college, that was like my transition outside of my ego and this egotistical way of viewing life and thinking, where I was always thinking it's about me. I start realizing it's about me and everyone else, you know, and not only that, it's about God. And so once I was able to transition out of that space and start just viewing things from a higher space, then I start to realize that, okay, it's not, the world isn't as dark or as small as it seems, and things are actually, well, let me rephrase that. The world isn't as dark, but it's also not as big as it seems. And my ego would have me thinking, you know, I'm too small to go enjoy life or to do this thing. And it would always keep me in a box. It always wanted to put me in a box. And I'm talking to my ego like it's in third person, but no, like my ego always wanted to put me in a space where I couldn't move forward. Always wanted to keep me down. And my higher self or Christ consciousness, Christ, Jesus, whatever, it will all want to pull me up and keep me elevating and keep me moving forward on my journey, but also showing me the brighter side and the positivity of life. Because seriously, if you're not able to see the beauty of life, this existence is going to become dreadful very fast. There's times where I didn't want to exist, literally. And to get out of that space, it started with me renewing my mind and also being present of the moment, you know, and realizing that if I'm sad right now, I can choose to not be sad. I can choose to do something that is going to make me feel better, you know, that's going to elevate me. And it started small. It would start with me writing, or it would start with me praying, or it would start with me building something or creating something. Start with me drawing something, just doing something to kind of take myself or take my mind off of what was going wrong and start going what's going right, right? And so when I did that, I started to see, okay, this is kind of like my door to positivity or to optimism. Because anytime I would do something that you can say is high vibrational, quote unquote, going hiking or getting out or meditating, I realized that I was more in control of the present moment and my thoughts and what I was seeing or what I was creating for myself. Because we got to acknowledge manifestation in all this. The ego is always going to manifest the wrong thing. It's always going to manifest things that aren't necessarily the best for you. Where your higher self is always going to manifest everything that will work together for your highest good and just the good things that you need on your journey, plus a little extra if you're good, if you know what I mean. But higher self is always going to elevate you, where the ego is always going to demote you. Is that the word? Make you descend. You got ascension and descension. Let's get into the higher self. So anytime you are in the higher states or higher way of thinking, or just tapped into that good, positive, high vibrational energy, you're going to realize that you can create your reality and that you're in control of your thoughts, actions, and decisions. And everything around you is happening for you and not against you. You realize literally, I create my reality based on what I'm doing in the present moment. And you can always choose to do something that is going to better you or better someone else or help someone else, you know. Those are high vibrational states of being, when you realize, okay, I can expand in any direction that I choose. other high vibrational energies or traits or just things to realize as you live in abundance and there's enough around you. There's so much abundance that God gives us, and sometimes it just comes with us being consciously aware of it. My favorite example of abundance is the air that we breathe. No, we are not running out of oxygen, okay? Just breathe in right now. Excuse my breathing. As you breathe in, you will realize that there is an abundance of air around you. You can breathe in as much air as you want, and you're not going to run out of it, because that's how God has designed this. There's so much that you can realize that there's an abundance of. And once you realize it, then you realize there's enough of it. Simple as that. Abundance is just a never ending of anything. It's endless. It's abundant. It's always there. It's always coming. And that's God. God is abundance. Abundance of love. Abundance of joy. Abundance of happiness. Abundance of everything. So living in that space of abundance and consciously realizing it is so important. So I talked about the ego and that whole life is scary, right? And kind of putting you in that box. The opposite of that is realizing that everything is awesome. The world around you is beautiful. The world around you is awesome. It's literally like living in a state of fear versus love. Bam. Just like that. Where you have love, which is this very limiting. Excuse me. Woo. I did not mean to say that. Where you have fear that is very limiting and love that is very expansive. Because through love, you realize that you're connected to everything. And love is literally like the bridge between you and everything. When you can start to love the things around you, you'll notice that you'll start to feel more connected to the things around you. Where fear will do the opposite. Again, that fear wants to put you in a box. Wants you to think that you are separated from the world around you, when in reality you aren't. So it's that state of being present. You're literally being present in the moment, and you realize I am alive, versus where ego will have you thinking you're dead spiritually and mentally. Child, it's a thing. But it's the literal state of feeling like the world around you is bigger than what it is, or smaller than what it is. You know, it's like I can conquer the world energy, where you feel like you can do anything. The world is your oyster. And I love that. I really do. So when it comes to the higher self, you are in harmony with the world around you. And I pinpoint this in my example of higher energies and being in your higher states of thinking, because it's important to have harmony and balance within the world inside of you, but also around you. And you'll notice the two. You'll notice that when you have peace on the inside, in your reality, you'll see that peace. Of course, the outside world, the things on the outside of you are always going to seem chaotic, because that's what media does. They push a lot of nonsense. But if you can be consciously aware of your inner world and also your present world, the stuff around you, the people around you, what's going on with them and what's going on in your current environment, and not only just like, you know, outside people, but the people that are close to you, and you'll see the harmony with them as well in yourself, then you'll see the connection between the two. But you'll realize that you're in harmony with everything around you. My example of this, what I call perfect harmony, is there was one day in the summer. This was like my favorite day. It was like, I think it was July 17th. And I went on a hike, and I went through this jungle. It was like a little forest. It was a little scary too. I was hearing all these sounds, and I started to feel like this sense of fear. And something was like, turn around, you know, trying to convince me to turn around. But I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm halfway through this little jungle. I'm gonna keep pushing forward. So I keep going through it, and I'm just heading straight at this point. I'm just going straight through it, and I'm climbing trees, jumping over stuff. Like, it was a real adventure. And I see like the sun start cracking through the trees, and I'm like, all right, just keep going for it. Keep pressing for it. And I keep going, and I get to this train track, and I'm like, and it's all bright and beautiful. And I see this like rope, and it like goes down to like this, like, I guess it's like another forest area. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna keep going. So I move for it, go down this rope, and it takes me to like this little coast beach. And I was so stunned. I was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. I knew I should have kept going. So I get to this like little coast beach, and there's no one there. It's just me. It was perfect. So I'm like, all right, I can meditate in peace. Don't have to worry about anything around me. So I sit on this rock. As I'm sitting on the rock, close my eyes. I start breathing, doing my breathing exercises, becoming very present in the moment, just really just absorbing everything around me. The sun is starting to go down. I just love this. So there was bees around me. Anytime I see bees or like hear a bee, I know that it's time to kind of match the frequency of the bee's wings, because this is crazy. I love this. But bees, anytime a bee flies into your life, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons is because it's telling you to match the vibration of love. And a bee's wings is the vibration of love. That's crazy to me, but I just think that's so cool. So I start to like raise my vibration and whatnot, and start thinking about all the things that I love, and the things I love about myself, and the things I love about God, and the things I love about life. And oh my gosh, I see this butterfly. I see this butterfly flap by me, and I'm just like, oh wow, this is such a moment. At that moment, I was like, I'm seeing God. I am seeing God. The water started to like come up to the rock and crash on the rock, and you know, I wasn't worried about getting wet or anything, because I just felt at peace, like literally with harmony around me. And as I'm breathing like life in, and I'm seeing everything, it's just like my breathing is matching the wind and the waves. It was just really beautiful. I know I didn't really explain that well, but I see it in my head, and I just love that moment, because that to me was one of the moments of pure harmony that I felt, not only on the inside but on the outside as well. And it was like peace, literal peace. And I'm not saying it was because I was alone or anything, but just seeing the outside world respond to what was going on the inside and seeing that connection between the two was just really amazing. And yeah, that was a moment of me tapping into my higher self. And then the manifestation that day was crazy too, because let me just say this, there was some stuff that happened after that when I was like, yo, this is crazy. God is good. But basically, when it comes to the higher self and the higher states of thinking, thinking from that Christ consciousness, you will realize that you are happy. You are happy. You are love. And God is love. And love is God. And it's just this beautiful feeling of, dare I say, completion. Like, it just, you feel completed in that present moment, and it's just a beautiful feeling. And every time I think about that moment, that's like my ideal moment of harmony, because, oh man, I don't know how to explain it. I just felt connected like no other. I just felt so connected to everything around me, to God, to the earth, just everything. And even the butterflies, like there was a point where the butterfly was just kind of fluttering in front of me, and I was like, is this God looking at me right now? Is God this butterfly right now? Like, that's how I felt. Like, even the sun, it was like everything was God, and I was just dwelling in God. It was just a beautiful experience and feeling, and being present in that moment was just so powerful, because I felt so like big. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I felt I didn't feel any limit. I felt limitless. I felt like in that moment, I felt like I could fly. Like, and you know, I would have started levitating. No, I'm just playing. But it was just a really cool moment, and it's my favorite example of just being present and being in that higher space of thinking, because you're not worried. You're literally not worried about anything. You're not worried about the outside world. You're not really worried about what's happening behind you or around you. You know, if I was in an ego mindset, I would be worried about like a cheetah coming behind me and tearing me up, or like a goat or something coming and biting me. You know, like worried about the small things, worrying about spiders and worrying about a bee stinging me. But instead, I was just at this harmonious energy, and I was able to sit there and really enjoy the moment and, you know, see it from a higher perspective. You know, like, okay, this bee is, it's not going to hurt me. I even think I tried to hold the bee at one point, but it was just a really cool moment. Sorry for over explaining that, but basically, I hope this podcast was able to help you identify the thoughts and actions of your lower self, or your ego, flesh, man, nature, whatever you want to call it, or your old man, versus your new man, your spiritual man, your spirit, your higher self, Christ consciousness, all of that, and the difference between the two, and understanding that one is meant to keep you locked down and the other is there to help you expand. And over time, you're going to be in both of those spaces, and that's okay. You just have to become aware of whatever space that you're in and choose whether or not you want to elevate or stay where you're at. Simple as that. But thank you guys for listening. I hope this was helpful. God bless you. Remember, you have the choice. All you have to do is become present in the moment and decide whether or not you want to stay where you are or move forward and expand. But you hold the power. You hold the power. God bless you guys. Have a beautiful new year.